Do me a favor, out of respect for the word, why don't you stand to your feet? Let's begin with prayer and praise. Let's take, before I pray, this service, do you realize this service is much yours as it is mine? You didn't come just for somebody else or see somebody else be touched. You have come, hopefully you have come to experience God for yourself. So let's take the next 30 seconds, and I want you to just begin to lift your hands if you want to, but out of your mouth, begin to give God thanks and ask Him what you need. Let it know, this is the day the Lord has made, and this is, you want to go into the heart and the attitude of, God, I need to hear from heaven today. I need my miracle today. I'm tired of waiting for my promotion in my next season. I need it today. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you. We press in with faith and urgency today. We honor you. We thank you. We praise your name. We decree and declare the name of Jesus as the supreme authority in our lives, in our homes, and in this house today, in every area of our lives. We speak to any and every challenging authority, and we tell you, you must bow your knee. Today is the last day that you will operate with any level of influence or power or effect into our lives. No longer will we be intimidated or afraid. No longer will we hesitate by the destinies that God has for us. Thank you, Father. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. I speak over your life today, according to Psalms 1:3, whatever you put your hands to will be blessed. We'll succeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. You may be seated again. In quick review, we've been keying in on this one verse out of 1 Peter verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The metaphor, the example, is just like a baby that is growing, needing the milk of his mother so it can grow. You don't feed a baby steak and eggs. You have to get to a place before you can chew and eat and digest the steak and eggs. But steak and eggs are coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. New believers have to start at simple truths to grow and allow the power of the truth to have an impact. Let me say that again. The danger is if we think that the whole key here is the knowledge, and baby Christians will try to get a lot of knowledge, and they have head knowledge but no heart revelation. And without the heart revelation, there's no impact in their life. And so you have to really grow, walk this thing out. You have to walk this thing out. Because just like a baby, its desire is the milk. Yes. And when we go to the Word, the desire doesn't need to be, oh, I'm just wanting to read the Bible. And that's a good thing if you want to read the Bible. But don't you realize that the greatest time that you need the effect of the Bible, the benefit of the Bible, is in the times when you don't want to read the Bible. Right. If you only read the Bible when you want to read it, you'll miss out, because when you don't want it, that's when you need it the most. Can I get an amen? And so we desire the milk of the Word, just not the Word, but the effect, the nutrients. Jesus said that my words, they are spirit and they are life. And so when you are reading the Word, you ought to start off with prayer, praise, thanksgiving, whatever, and just say, Lord, I'm opening my heart. Speak to me. Let that Word become alive to me. Because you're not reading to check off a list. You're not reading just to read through the Bible in a year. You're not reading just to say you're a good person. You're reading to draw life. That's the Greek word there is zoe, the God quality of life. You're there to draw the anointing, the strength of God, the presence of God. You're going in feeling discouraged, but you want to come out encouraged. You're going in starting reading and feeling weak and disgusted and busted, but you want to come out feeling strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you go in not saying, this is where I'm going to stay. I'm going into the Word because I need an effect in my life that I get only from the Word. Now, some stuff, you have to be real, some stuff you can get in the natural that temporarily props you up. If someone comes up to you and says, oh, you did a great job, I just so appreciate you, you'll feel good about yourself in the day. But if that person's not there, some of us, we're dysfunctional because we have put the power of what the Word is to be in our life, and we put that power in other people's lives, and now we look to other people to do what only the Word should be doing in our life, and when the other people aren't there, we get mad at them. Why? No one has called me in 3 days. I haven't talked to nobody, and no one's encouraged me. No one's visited me. No one's helping me. Well, the problem is you're looking to people and not God. We got to get to the milk of the Word. When I'm feeling rejected, I can find some people, but maybe I can't. But now I owe them, or they know they control me. But if I can get to the Word and say, I'm going to encourage myself, like David said, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. In fact, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, challenge everything I say. Study it on your own. I want you to challenge ideas, no matter who says it, with the Word of God so you can grow. And Jesus did a whole thing about being the doorway, the gateway. And he says, anybody who comes through me will find salvation. And then he goes on to say in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he goes, and then they will go in and out and find rest. We've taught before, that moves from just salvation to relationship. Because Jesus wasn't saying, come through the door of me, come through me, I'm the doorway, and you'll be saved. And then you leave and you won't be saved. And then you come back and get saved again. And then you leave and you go mess up and get all jacked up, and you come to Sunday and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. And then you leave, and on Monday you done messed it up again. And by Friday you're thinking, oh no, what I'm going to do? Oh, I need to repent. That's how some Christians live. But that's not what Jesus was saying. There's another level. There's a greater level. Say, there's another level. In your connection with him, he's the vine, you're the branch. In your connection with him, you can keep coming in and out of his presence, in and out of the Word, and say, I'm going to go in. Why? Because I need to find rest. What am I going to do? I'm going to go in because I need to find direction. I'm going to get, and you don't need to go looking for a specific verse that tells you if you should marry him. Untie the donkey. No, that's not the one. That's what some people do. They'll just kind of open their Bible and let it. Dakes reference. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Don't play games with God. You're not going in for just a hearing his voice. God can speak to you, but if you don't know how to develop your spirit to hear his voice, the devil will confuse you. So before you get ahead of yourself with the meat, let's get to the milk. Are you with me? Before we get to the steak and eggs, and there's steak and eggs in the future. And I'm telling you, if you haven't got to steak and eggs in the future, when you eat steak and eggs, it'll make you smile. You'll never want cold cereal spiritually again when you have steak and eggs. But we got to realize that we're not going for these little trinkets that other people to impress other people. We're going in for the presence of God. Amen. We're going for the truth of God. Amen. Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you'll know my truth. You'll know if you continue my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know a lot of people who talk the truth but don't know the truth. Yeah. You know how I can tell? Because Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. You can quote every verse, but if there's no revelation to it, no rhema, no life to it, then it will not produce change.
That's right.
And I know a lot of Christians, you do too, nobody here, hallelujah, that are trying to impress people with their head knowledge, but their life, it looks just like the world.
Right.
Same fears, same addictions, same hang-ups, no victory, not reigning in life. Why? Because they try to get ahead of themselves. They're gnawing on steak that they can't even digest. They don't have the teeth yet. All they're getting is seasoning. Come on, somebody. But they're not getting the substance of what God has for them. We have to go at this thing to go for it, to draw that life. This is a relationship, not a religion. If you want to follow, listen, there's a lot of churches that will give you all the rules of what you should and shouldn't do, and you're welcome. We love you. We're glad you're here. But, I mean, if someone says, nah, I want someone to tell me if I'm right, I need the Holy Spirit to tell me I'm right. Because if I let somebody tell me I'm going to heaven and they're wrong, you're not going to stand before God and say, take him, not me. New Living says it this way, grow into a full experience. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow into a full experience of salvation. Amen. Pastor, you tell me I'm not saved? No, you're saved when you're born again, Romans 10. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've been saved. I'm water baptized. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know salvation is a transactional event. It's a purchase. That's where the redemption means redeemed, to be purchased, bought back by the blood of Jesus. And encompasses not only your spirit person, but also your mind and your will and emotions, that's your soul, and also your body. So if someone, God forbid, you're like, our bodies are included in salvation? Absolutely. What if someone's cremated? What if somebody has an accident and they're blown up? God has a way to figure it out. He's that big. He's that amazing. But there's going to be a time it all comes back together and that body's going to be glorified. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So it's all of you. But when you first get saved, your mind still needs to be renewed. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because your mind still wants to think like the old way. And God wants you to think the new way. Heaven wants you to think like heaven thinks. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God wants you to think like heaven thinks. Not how the world thinks. It's a new system. It's a new kingdom that we can usher into our natural life, which does not make sense to the natural man, but is demonstrated in a way that gets people's attention, 1 John 5:4, and brings victory into your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
So we notice from here, as we get into today's topic, that God wants us to grow, but he's not wanting you to grow spiritually for titles. In some churches, it's all about titles. I remember going one time to a restaurant, and I was waiting in line, and on the billboard, there was some church, and I'm not bashing anyone specifically, but I'm just sharing my view. If you don't like it, pray for me. And they had some event, and at the bottom was the name of the pastor and the first lady, and that's great, but under their name, as God is my witness, is as small as you had to get close to read it, two lines of titles. In some churches, they'll just get together in their group, and they'll give each other titles. Who gave you that title? This doctor. Who gave that title to the doctor? Me. And it goes back and forth. You're a doctor. You're a doctor too. You're a bishop. So are you. You're an apostle. So am I. And they just pass around titles. Because it's the human nature to want titles. And there's nothing wrong with titles if you earn it. Can I get an amen, Dr. Rob? Sitting to my right. But all these people who just buy them, just not right, is it? If you earn a title, that's one thing. But a lot of people just want titles because of their insecurity.
Right.
In the church world, you know, I mean, God, you know, people in general can be very insecure. In church world, sometimes we can get really insecure.
Right.
And so they want to impress everybody. And so we put on our airs, we act a certain way, we put on our church clothes, our church attitude, and we just act like we got it all together, and we strive for titles. Why? So that people just respect and honor us. We should be wanting people to respect Jesus. I heard Creflo Dollar say once that he got from Oral Roberts. He says, what do you want, the title or the anointing? I'd rather have the anointing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to walk in and have to, I'm an apostle, prophet, evangelist, bishop, elder, and shake my hand, kiss my ring. I'd rather walk into the room and somebody know that there's something different because there's an anointing that walked in with you. I want the demons to know when you walk in a room, they better start looking for the window to jump out of. They better start looking for pigs to get into because something is not, their world's about to change. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You can collect all the titles you want, but it will not get you anywhere. You have to have the anointing of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
We got to grow into this thing.
Yes.
And see, when we don't grow, or when we don't grow through the transformational process of Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do you know what happens when you don't get that transformation, that revelation? You don't get the grace that comes with it.
Right.
You don't get the ability that comes with it. And people, there's a lot of people in the church world who have titles and positions and responsibilities but can't carry the weight when it comes to battle. That's like having a father who's a heavyweight boxer and him pass away and you get the belt. And you walk around wearing the belt. You might walk around with something that says you're the heavyweight champion, but we'll know the truth when you get in the battle. And there's people that are under the weight of a responsibility, of a ministry, of a job, of a career. They are carrying heavy weight. Why? Because they put themselves under something, and maybe it's in their destiny. But they got ahead of themselves. They got ahead of God.
Yeah.
Because when you walk with God, he not only gives you the direction and the information, the revelation, he gives you the ability.
Amen.
With the grace of God, listen to me, with the grace of God, the weight is gone. It doesn't mean you don't feel and see the effect of the wind, but you know who you are, like Jesus did, and he did what? The Bible says he stood up. Why couldn't he just sit down and deal with the wind? He's letting the wind know that you can't even keep me from standing.
Right.
All these other jokers I call disciples are hiding out crying and already planning out their burial. Where am I going to, a fish is going to eat me. No, Jesus said, you're not getting me in that game. So I'm not going to play that game. Come on, say it. I'm not going to play that game. When the devil starts messing with your mind and imagination and trying to get you to plan the worst case scenario, you got to let him know, I'm not playing that game. I'm not intimidated by you. I don't care if you show up. You have to bow your knee, because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Not because you feel it, because it is. But we got to grow. We have to grow. In the next few moments, I want to talk about Romans 4, verse 17. This is about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. Yeah. Now, in the context of this, in the context of the story, in the context of Abraham's life, when God was saying this, when was this brought out? At the end or at the beginning? Go to Genesis. You'll find out where God says, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, for I have made you a father. Stay with me, church. So before he took the first step to become a father, right, from God's perspective, he was already a father. Yes. That's what I want you to see, that we grow into the full experience of salvation. If you can begin to catch the revelation of who God said you are and what God said you have before you start. Many Christians are praying and they're pleading, they're crying because they're waiting for God to add to their boat, add to their shopping cart, right, what they don't have. And I want you to understand, you already have it. Amen. You might still have to grow into it. You say, why do I need to grow into it? Because if you don't grow into it, you'll mess it all up.
That's right.
I'm praying that God will just make me a billionaire. Are you a millionaire yet? No. You 100,000-aire yet? No. You got two nickels rubbed together? You have to grow into it, because you can't do the next level of your season with the old season's habits. You have to grow. You can't operate in the new business with the old policies and procedures of the last company. You got to grow. And it's okay to grow, because every time you're growing, you're becoming stronger, you're becoming better, you're moving toward your destiny. You know, there's a lot of talk in the world about equality, even financially. Don't you realize, just think about it, and come to your own conclusion, that if you took all the money, let's say we could push a button, and took every dollar of every person in America, regardless of where they have it stored, and say, we're going to put it in a pot, and we're going to break it out evenly to every person, and make, let's say, we'll make every person a millionaire. Don't that sound nice? Every American, if you're American, you're immediately a millionaire. Because that's the right thing. If you're American, everybody should be a millionaire. Don't you realize in less than 30 days, it would go back the way it is?
Right. Yep.
Why? Because some people have learned how to manage money and make money.
Yes.
And some people think money's just there to buy them something to make them feel good for the moment.
Right. Right.
And so the people that lost their billions and all they have a million, they'd be like, okay, I'm going to make it back. And what do? They'd find something to sell to the people who got this money, and what's the first thing they think? What am I going to buy?
Right.
And within 30 days, it goes back to normal.
Yep.
Why? Because you have to grow into some things.
Right.
I just want to, I'm going to own my own company. Have you read any books on management? I don't need to. I'll get there, and the Lord will show me. Maybe the Lord will show you through a management book.
Right.
Get a Christian management book.
Right.
And he'll show you biblical principles on leading and managing. I don't know. It's going to be a miracle. I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, you're going to stuck me in your way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to grow. I have made you a father. Before he started, before he took a breath, God said, I made you something before you knew the something. I made you into something before you started. I made you into something before you took a breath. David said, you knew me in my mother's womb, and you've mapped out all my days.
Yeah.
So God is not saying, I'm going to try to come up with something as you step into it. He says, I'm already there. I know what I've made you. It's like this. I have put my DNA. 1 John tells us that his seed, his DNA is in you. And he said, I'm putting my DNA for your destiny on the inside of your spirit, man. And Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because what you are doing in life is so important. Don't take it lightheartedly. Don't be flippant with your life. Oh, I'll just do what I want. It's my life, and at the last minute, I'll get saved and make it to heaven. And you'll miss some amazing things that God has for you. God has put it on the inside of you. When you look at a baby, you say, oh, sweet baby. But you know that baby's going to grow. That baby's going to get older. But that baby doesn't grow into a dog. Wouldn't that be weird? Forget what. You had a baby. Oh, yeah. Is it a girl or a boy? It's a boy. What's it going to be? A dog? Cat? What? I don't know. Why? Why does that sound silly? Because we know that the genetic makeup, the DNA, determines the destination, the growth that that child is going to become an adult, not another animal. It's made after its DNA. God said, I put my DNA in you. I put my seed in you. And when you begin to walk this thing out, grow into it, you're growing into what I've created you to be.
Amen.
Not something you pick. That's where we get messed up sometimes in the faith camp. We get so excited about the power of confession, and it works, and the power of the word, and it works. But we start thinking we have to come up with the idea. And we'll roll the dice or copy somebody's book or look at somebody. Oh, I'm going to do what they're doing. You're not supposed to do what you're doing. The Bible tells us to run the race set before us. You're supposed to do what he wants you to do. You're a piece of his puzzle. He's not a piece of yours.
Amen.
And your life is of great value. Your life is of great importance. Man, I feel that in my spirit for somebody. Don't let the devil get you and talk you into throwing it away. Don't end it. Don't waste it. Don't blow it. You say, I've blown it so many years. I'm telling you, repent. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then get back up, shake off the dust and the dirt and say, I'm going to take my life seriously. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to make an impact in somebody's life. I'm going to make a difference in my life. You say, I don't have many years left. Well, let the last years be the greatest years. Let the last years be the greatest years. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. It's not time to go on cruise control. It's not time to flow. It's time to be serious about the things of God. We are in the last of the last days. We don't have time to joke around and waste any time. That doesn't mean you're called to full-time ministry. It doesn't mean that you're called to match anybody else. It's called to, you need to take your life seriously, and I'm going to make a difference and fulfill the destiny that my Heavenly Father has. I'm going to run the race. Paul says, run as to win it.
Yes.
Some people just think they should get a trophy because they're in it. Boy, have we messed kids up, haven't we? Everybody gets a trophy just for participating. Life doesn't work that way. I should get a raise. I've been here a year. You haven't even showed up half the year to even work. You don't increase because you just showed up. You don't get a trophy just because you participated. We have to take the things of God and the things of life seriously. You have to go after this thing. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's just not convenient. Who cares about your convenience? Greatness doesn't look to convenience. You look to destiny. There's a spiritual DNA. We have to grow into what God has called us to go into. See, I have to grow into. Come on, I'm going
to
work at church. Say, I have to grow into what God has called me to go into. You don't want, I'm just resting in my easy chair of life saying, kumbaya, Jesus, back up the truck. Beep, beep, beep. And just let it all just hit me. No, they'll bury you with the goodness of God. Don't you realize that God is so good that he can't even reveal his goodness? Psalm says that he shrouds himself in obscurity. Why? Because if you could stand 1 millisecond in the goodness, the genuine awesomeness, the rawness of God's goodness, you would implode.
Right.
Because evil and sin can't stand in his presence.
That's right.
He is so good. His presence is so tangible. My God, we got to get this out of the religious thinking. This is a real deal stuff. He is so good that in the Hebrew word, the word for glory, which is also his goodness, his manifested presence, is kabod. It's the weightiness of his goodness. He's so good that it's heavy. The reason he had to remove Adam out of the garden when he fell is because if he would have reached for Adam to hug him and say, don't, he would have destroyed humanity. Yes. Because evil evil's like a stress fracture in the wall that can't carry any weight. And the goodness of God, that's why it says all of sin to come short of the glory of God. You can't carry the glory under the sin, but under the righteousness of the blood, we should be able to say, God, let me carry the weight that I can't do it on my own, but only by your grace. I'm telling you, this thing's real. Yes. There has to be more than an emotion, a hype, a scream, a holler, a run, a goosebump, a song. I mean, I've had times in my life. I remember once, years ago when my dad was alive, and he would preach on Sunday morning, and I'd preach on Sunday nights. And that particular weekend, I just had the flu. Now, you say flu or virus today, and people run for the hills, put on masks, start screaming, and hide themselves in a bubble. But anyway, take a deep breath. This is many, many years ago. It's one thing to be precautious, another thing just to be, okay, so anyway. And I was in bed, I was chilling, I was fever, I was sweating, and I'm like, Dad, my weak voice, I'm not feeling good. Do you mind preaching for me? And my dad said, son, I preach this morning. I have the mornings, you have the evenings. Go get a suit on, you're preaching. Where's the mercy? But I appreciate these opportunities because at the time I thought, oh, he's just being cruel. That's not being nice. He just doesn't. It's making it harder on me. So I went and took a shower, aching, hurting, chilling, sweating, put on a suit. In those days, we had to wear a suit and tie, even on Sunday nights. God, help us, help us, help us. And so went and did that. And in those days, I played the drums for the worship team. So now I'm trying to play drums when you got a headache, hurting. And through the whole thing, I was hurting. I was miserable. But we have a little laughing joke around my family. With the Bruces, we just kind of bull our way through. We don't care what boundaries. And then we got to be pulled back a little bit. So I thought, I'm not going to let this stop me. So I'm playing the drums, doing the worship, and part of the worship thing. And struggling, hurting, miserable. Then it was time for me to preach. I got up, and as I stood behind the podium and opened the Bible, the anointing hit me. And as God is my witness, every symptom disappeared. I preached that whole message. Got done, and I'm like, ooh, this is awesome. God's healed me. I'm feeling great. Preached that whole message. And the moment, would you believe, and the moment I got done and stepped off the platform, every symptom came back. It's like God's showing me, hey, this thing's real. I remember the first time I went to the Philippines, and we have a lot of churches out there. And out of ambition or whatever, we had an incredibly fast, heavy-paced schedule, nonstop. And I had worked myself so hard that we had drove like 5 hours up north from Manila to a small town called Pangasinan. And I got there. You know, hopefully you're learning. We all should be learning. And so I got out there, and I'm wearing one of their Filipino shirts. And I got one that was a little heavier than it probably should have been. I was like in 100-degree weather. I mean, it's tropics. It was way hot. We did the crusade outside, and it was a rough community. Rough. I mean, it was like, talk about rural as far as poverty. It was like the roads weren't paved. It was just bad. It was bad. But I had a church out there, and I'm doing a crusade, and there's a few hundred people at this little small community. And I asked them, hey, anybody sick, I mean, in pain, and you want us to pray for you, stand up. Jesus can heal you. And they all stood up. I thought, well, that's strange. Maybe they didn't understand me. Maybe Pastor Jesse did not translate, because I don't know what he's saying. He might say, this American will give you $10 to come forward. I don't know what he's saying, right? You do with translators, I mean. And sometimes they preach better than you do. And you say it, and they say it, and you're like, wow, that was pretty good. Did I really say that? No, not really. But, I mean, you don't know. And it's just, we're seeing God minister to people, but the crowds are getting closer. And I kind of had a little glimpse of what Jesus dealt with with crowds in the sense of as people were getting healed, they got excited. As they got excited, they moved. And I found myself surrounded with people. And all of a sudden, I found myself, I couldn't even breathe. They were sucking the oxygen out of the space. And I was sweating. And I was like, I got to get it. So we got done with the service. I told Pastor Jesse, I need to go back. So we had to drive. It was actually a five-hour drive. Drove back. And I didn't bring a change of shirts. So I'm in an air condition, sleeping, because it's late at night. We didn't get until like 2 in the morning. And I'm in a wet shirt. And the next morning, I woke up not feeling my best. No voice. No voice. Because sleeping next to an air vent in the van in a wet shirt. And so I get up. We had to get up like in 4 hours. We had to be on a plane at 6. We had to fly south to Bohol. I had to do another service that afternoon. And I told Brother Hobart, who was with me at the time, say, in my little voice, I need you to probably preach. I'll get up and greet, and I'll see what I can do. I don't want to overstrain my voice. Would you believe it? I got up there, and my voice came back strong. I preached for those wonderful people. Got done, and I'm like, oh, this is great. You think I'd learn from the first time. Some of us takes, I don't know about you, but some of us takes it me a few times to get that same lesson down. Say, God is real. And I got done, walked out thinking, ooh, my voice is back, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, I lost my voice again. I thought, what's up, Jesus? We need to grow. Let me get back to my thought. We need to grow into what God has called us to go into. And the key, you listening? The key is just not the word. The key is also a response to the word. Yes. Hebrews 4:2, the word preached did not profit them. Hebrews 4:2, and the word preached did not profit them. The word preached, the power's in the word, but it didn't produce a change in them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. It didn't say because they couldn't quote it. It didn't say because they didn't hear it. It said because they didn't mix their faith with it. There's our response to the word that comes forward. You can be sitting in the same service, same meeting with one person, and one person walk away being touched by God, and the other person miss it and think, this is so boring. I was daydreaming and sleeping. I can't wait to get home so I can eat. And miss out on what God did. Why? Because they didn't discern the moment of what God was doing. They didn't mix their faith with what was going forward. Why? Because they didn't value the power of the word. Listen, God is so good, he doesn't need to devalue himself to get to you. Right. How did Abraham, who was Abraham, mix his faith so that he saw a difference? Because if it's not working for us, if there's something not working in your life, don't blame God, don't blame the Bible, don't redefine the translation. God, don't do that anymore. That was just for the early church. Says you. Find out. Be open. That's where meekness comes. Be open to learn. Say, God, I'm missing something because I'm reading the Bible and I'm not seeing the Bible. Produce the fruit, the tangibility, because you shall know them by the fruit. People might not know a tree by the bark, but they'll know it by the fruit. That is a natural understanding and identification because they themselves can begin experiencing what God has done on the inside of you and begins to produce through you. They can begin to experience for themselves. That's a big reason why God wants to do the amazing in your life today. In his kingdom now, because on this side of eternity, wait if you want to. You can still get to heaven, and all that belongs to you in the kingdom of your heavenly Father will be yours, but it's yours now. And you begin to, like Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you begin to understand, I can begin to access it here, not just for me, but for the glory of God, so that other people can experience God for themselves. It frustrates me as an individual to see churches and people are happy about crowds and they praise God for great crowds. The place is packed today again. And all they look for crowds and no life, no effect. For some churches, some members, nobody here, amen. Some members, the only thing different between them and their atheist neighbor is what they do on Sunday morning. Our life should be a light. It should be a city on a hill. It should be different. They should be drawn to us, and I don't know why. Amen. In closing, mixing our faith like Abraham. Number one, Romans 4:19 says, who against hope, Abraham, who against hope, that means hopeless. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Amen. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. What did he have? He had believing faith. Say believing faith. See, if you're like, oh, he valued the word that was spoken. Yeah. He valued the word that was spoken. I've already heard that verse so many times. You have devalued it from your past repetition. Because anytime you might have memorized that word, you might have memorized that verse 1,000 times and quoted it 10 years. Every day there's a new opportunity for a new depth out of that. You have to value the word that is spoken. He believed what was spoken. Why? Because he valued. If I know you and you tell me something and I value you, then I'll value your word. If I value your word and you say you're going to do something, I don't have to keep checking with you because I value your word. I value your word because I value you. I value you because I know you. And those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. The reason people don't value the word is because they have no relationship with Jesus. And that's where religion creeps in. You don't need a relationship. You be just like, Israel's like, stay at the mountain, and Moses, you go up and tell us what God says. We want secondhand, secondary relationship. And if your Christian walk is secondary relationship with Jesus, you will not have a real relationship. God has no grandchildren. And that's the reason people don't value the word, because they don't value their relationship. He valued the word. Therefore, he believed. Number two. He not only had believing faith, he had focused faith. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now dead when he was about 100 years old, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What is it saying? He did not depend on, he did not rely on, he did not look to what he knew would not work.
Right.
Some of us, we keep going back to failed practices that didn't work before. He chose to stay focused on what God says. And folks, there will be people in your journey. When you're believing for something, when you're standing on the word for something, there will always be somebody, sometimes good people, sincere people. Some people sometimes are close to you, and they'll come and they'll give you bad advice. Because they're working off the impulse of emotions. You have to work off the impulse of the word of God. I mean, even Job's wife, you would think your spouse would give you the best advice. And she came to him and said, why don't you curse God and just die? You want to ask, have you already picked out another guy or something?
Right.
Curse God and die. That's the dumbest advice you can give anybody.
Right.
Somebody said, you need to stand strong and fight. Well, they're going to die anyway. Well, I'd rather die fighting than dying, throwing in the towel. Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, I want you to know my faith. I kept fighting. I didn't understand it all. I didn't do it. Maybe perfect, but I did not quit. Focus faith. Say focus faith.
Focus.
He not only had focus, believing faith, focus faith. He had, verse 20, he had praising faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Yes.
Why would you give God glory before it's done? Because you know it's already finished. So when the devil's telling you, when circumstance is telling you, when the doctor's report's telling you, when the employer's telling you, when your checkbook's telling you, when whoever's telling you something that is out of alignment, you need to get in the word till you get that revelation and peace on the inside. Let him fill you with joy and peace and believing. You need to rest, Hebrews 4, step into the rest of God, and then begin to give him praise. Begin to give him thanks. Before it happens, Father, I want to thank you. My child is going to live. I thank you, Father God. My children are to grow up and be great contributors to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that I am going to live and not die and declare the good works of the Lord. You got to speak the word. You got to give him thanks. What are you saying? I believe his word more than I believe in the symptom. I believe the word better than I believe the news. I believe his word better than I believe my emotion. I believe the word better than I believe the temporary. And the word says, don't look at the temporal subject to change. Look to the eternal. And his word is eternal. Psalms 119. He has established and elevated his word above his name. It will not fail.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will fail. But he will not fail. You got to learn to praise God in the midst. You got to praise him in the midst. They might be trying to throw you in a fiery furnace, but you got to praise him in the midst. I wonder, and we'll wait till heaven to get to see, but I'm going to throw my guess. Because the Bible tells us with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace seven times stronger, and the soldier that threw them in died throwing them in. And the king decided to look, and he says, wait a minute, I see not three, but four. Didn't we throw three in? I'm telling you, what God's about to do in your life is going to confuse the people that are trying to attack you. Listen to me. Those who are attacking you are about to be confused by the blessings that God's going to do in your life. And he said, didn't we throw three in? Now there's four. When one looks like the Son of Man, what are they? And they were praising God. I wonder if they were praising God when he showed up or they were praising God before he showed up. I bet they were praising God all the way. Because they already told the king, oh king, we know you can throw us in the fiery furnace. And oh king, we want you to know that our God is well able to deliver us. But oh king, we want to make it clear. Some people got to get it where they make it clear. Some people aren't making it clear with themselves. They're not making it clear with the adversary. You got to know. Listen, king, my God is well able. But even if he chooses not to, it's not changing my direction. He's not changing my attitude. It's not changing my purpose. You can try to take my life on this side of eternity, but I'll not stop praising him. I'll not praise and bow my knee to another God. King, you need to know, you got natural authority, but there's a king in heaven who is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and he's the final authority, and I'll bow my knee only to him. I'll be honest, we have allowed society that is led by evil people to demasculate the male and make them think that we have to be passive to everything that comes down the road. You are not weak. You are not passive. You are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They can control a society if nobody stands up. But God didn't tell you to follow the leaders of the land when they are against the laws of God. Not when it's against the law of God, it's not. Revelation 14, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death, which means, devil, you don't have anything on me. You got to let the devil know you don't have anything on me. Hallelujah. Woo! When you have a praising faith, you'll not only praise him, you'll begin praising him, and you'll begin to see and expect and plan on things on the other side.
Yes.
Well, I'm praying that God will heal me, get me out of this wheelchair. Then you gotta start looking at tennis shoes so you can run a marathon. Well, I'm going to the store. What are you doing? I'm online looking for shoes. You can't even walk. I don't need to walk right now. I'm getting shoes. I'm preparing for my miracle. I'm making room for my miracle. I'm making space for God to fill. See, that's what a praise. He'll inhabit the praises of his people. One translation says, when you praise him, you're making a chair. I like to say it this way. When you praise him, you're making room for him. Now my plans are, what am I going to do? Who's going to sing at my funeral? My plans are, what am I going to do when I'm 90? Hallelujah. Start planning your future. Sit down. We're going to get out of here. They might close the buffet and we're all in trouble. Abraham had a believing faith. We're mixing our faith to get a change. He had a believing faith. He had a focused faith. He had a praising faith. And last but not least, he had a tenacious faith. And being fully persuaded, hallelujah, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that referring to God, he was able also to perform. And when you begin to hang on to that, hang on to the word of life, the word of truth, regardless of what you feel, hear, or see, Romans tells us, not moved by what you feel, hear, see, but moved by the word of God, you hang on to it. But I don't feel it today. Who cares if you feel it?
Right.
You get a hold of it. Tenacity, because Hebrews 11 tells us in Hebrews 6 that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12. And Hebrews 11:33 tells us that through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and obtained promises.
Yeah.
And shut the mouth of lions. This faith thing, this word of God thing, this is a powerful thing. This is not a tool. You don't give a major gun to a two-year-old. They'll blow themselves up and hurt people. No. This is a powerful thing. But you can grow into this thing. Get a hold of the word. And when you get a hold of the word, you know that you're not going to let it go. Don't let it go. You hang on to it. Get determined. Be determined. no matter hell or high water, people for you, people against you, if they all leave you, God be for you, you still come out winning. Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. 1 John 5:4, why? Because you're born of God. Whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. What are you doing? You're beginning to say, I'm going to get hold of this. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to learn as I go. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep pressing in, but I'm not going to let it go. I remember years ago when my dad was alive, I was needing to cut a branch. I've shared this story many years ago. I had to trim a branch on a tree, and so he was going to help me. He had a nice chainsaw I just bought. We got a ladder out. I climbed the ladder to the tree, and this branch came out, and it was going to grow toward my roof, so I didn't want that, so we're going to cut it off. Now, I'm not the person who cuts trees. I just have a chainsaw. And it seems pretty simplistic to me. Chainsaw, motor, tree, fall. But I also realized that some branches can grow with a twisting on the inside of them. Didn't realize that then. I realize it now. And so I'm cutting this carefully, cutting it right to get where it's going to fall. And as I get to the very end, there was a coiling in the tree in the way it grew. And when it was released from the trunk, it coiled back and snapped back and hit me in the head. So here I am on top of this really tall ladder, A-frame ladder. My dad's at the bottom holding the ladder. I'm dazed. Blood's flowing down my face. And I'm trying to hang on to the ladder. And with all this going on, I hear words of wisdom coming from my father as he screamed at the top of his voice, "Son, don't drop the chainsaw." It was his chainsaw. Don't drop what's about you. Now, there might be times, God forbid, that you're going to find yourself dazed by the enemy. You didn't see it coming. Wouldn't you wish he would give you a 3-day notice? And if you're ever in that situation, you find yourself dazed, disoriented, blood flowing, and you're barely hanging on, I want you to hear the words of coming out of my mouth. Don't drop the word. You hang on to that word. You hang on to that promise. You hang on to that promise. Hell or high water, you hang on to that promise. You hang on to that promise. You'd be fully persuaded. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Don't worry about how long. You be fully persuaded.
Amen.
And you hang on to that word. Say, I'm going to hang on to the word.
I'm going to hang on to the word.
Don't you let go of that promise. The promises of God to you are yea and amen.
Yes.
That means approved, and so be it. Say, thank you, Father. Lift your hand. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For your word.
For your word.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
And on your own way, just the next 30 seconds, give him praise and thank him for what he's doing in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking if you to join a church, denomination, religion. I'm asking you this one simple question that only you can answer, and the way you process and the way you experience. Is Jesus Christ real to you today that you would know for yourself? If you don't, you can. Maybe this is the first time you've heard the gospel, that Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, the Son of God, and died on the cross, taking your sins upon him, and on the third day rose again for you. Maybe you've just been in other churches or an environment where it was all about the rules and you didn't know you had the opportunity of a real relationship. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it difficult. But it is real. A simple prayer can have an eternal, powerful difference in your life. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you don't know him, as you repeat this prayer, let it come from your heart. Or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is your day. Today's the day for salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly
I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for me, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you. I want to celebrate what God's doing in your life. I want to know who I was praying with, but I also want to speak a blessing in your life. So here's what I want you to do at the count of three. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, you might be shy, but if the struggle of what you're feeling right now by standing to your feet, oh, I don't know if I can stand in front of people. If it's hard here when we're celebrating Jesus, how's it going to be in the world when they're trying to talk you into sin? We got to get real with God. Yeah. Now, some of you are strong and you're bold, so I want you to be quick so that others will be encouraged. But the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, and you know that your heart's right with God because you prayed that prayer this morning. So I know who I was praying with. I want you to stand to your feet. Number one, number two, number three. Stand to your feet right now. Who am I praying with? I say that. God bless. Stay stand if you would. Stay stand if you would. Two, three, four, five. Thank you. Six. Stay standing. Anybody else? God bless. Stay standing. Stay standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. There's somebody else over here. Who am I talking to? Somebody on my left side. I'll give you a few more seconds to stand. Hallelujah. A few more seconds. Don't miss your opportunity. We have several in the next room, they're saying. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Let me give a few more seconds. You say, what does it mean? I don't need to stand. I'm helping you out. Because you don't need just, some of you have already prayed that prayer years ago or other times, and it seems like it's up and down. I'm helping you, stepping you into the direction that will strengthen you. A few more seconds. Don't miss your opportunity. Aren't you tired of playing the games? Let's get real with God. I'll give you three more seconds, and I'm moving on. Three, two, one. Stretch your hands toward these people that have stood up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak strength into their life. According to your word, let them be strengthened in their inner man by your Holy Spirit. Empower them today by your anointing. We break every curse set against them. And every assignment of the enemy, we cancel. And any relationships that's destructive that would try to destroy or hinder them, we break it. And we loose them into the freedom of what you called them to be. We thank you for victory. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you. I dispatch angels to surround them wherever they go, like never before. Just not guardian angels, warring angels, Father God. Angels of flaming fire, warring angels, to surround them, direct them. I thank you for the great destiny that you have within them that will manifest around them in their life. And we give you praise. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.